What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Konbanwa, minasan. It's me. Hello. How's everybody doing?
Episode 71. We are back with another dope episode. I say that all the time, even if they aren't dope. I just assume they're going to be. So just work with me. I know you haven't heard it yet, but
I believe it's going to be dope.
Right? You dig? We also have a special guest this week. Stanya is with us. Say hi.
Hi. I'm a freelancer at GameSpot and IGN, and I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. Awesome.
So happy to have you.
I am too. I had asked, if you would jump on with us a little while ago, because I saw, well, we're not going to get into what we were talking about on Twitter just yet, but I saw you on Twitter and, you know, expressing some things, and I was like, you know what, this could be a dope conversation. But then I was like, I didn't just want her to be on for that conversation. I needed to, like, we have to have some other things to talk about. And so I was like, you know what, we'll just put a pin in that topic and we'll bring up some other things and kind of, you know, work through them and see what we can set up. Because when I usually ask someone to jump on or to join us, I want there to be like a good reason. I guess that's a bad way of saying it. I want a reason that fits. And I also don't want to kind of put people in a corner where they have to only talk about certain things. You notice, like, for instance, if you're, you know, an advocate for something, then someone asks you on their podcast to just talk about that thing. And I didn't want to do that. I kind of wanted to have a more of a free flowing conversation. And so
yeah, usually do that. Every time somebody comes on, typically we talk on a topic, and then we're like free for all. Hey, we're a fun show. We're a family show. Yeah, like, well, Family no, Guy no, is a family no. show.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait. I said, like, pump the brakes for a second. But so before we get into, you know, our main topics for today, or tonight rather, I wanted to talk about some things that we've been doing this week. For me, I've been playing way too many games, and I know that sounds bad, but it's just too many releases back to back. Thankfully, though, I've only had to write about a few of them, which allowed my brain to kind of be, I don't know, it's like there was a vice lock on my head, and I was able to, like, you know, remove it and kind of, like, be free. And, like, you know what? I'm taking a break. I'm not going to be reviewing things. I was talking about this last week. I was like, I'm not going to be reviewing stuff. And of course, people hit me up. As soon as I make that declaration, everyone's like, hey, we got this nice shiny thing that you wanted for however long. You want to review it for us? Like, ah, damn you. No, I don't want to review anything. So the only thing I've been writing about is Fortnite, which is my normal beat for IGN. And so outside of that, I've been playing Forza, been playing Riders Republic, which I'm probably going to uninstall, and just a bunch of, you know, various games here and there, and being overwhelmed with all the releases. It's a weird thing to be able to play games at you know, or be able to have access to video games this often. Whereas before, like, you know, if you're, you know, grew up a little poorer, like we did, it's like, dang, like, I can rent this game real quick and, you know, have it for a day or so, and then I'll wait however long to be able to rent another game. Whereas through the Game Pass and, you know, just because I'm not where I was before, like, oh, I can afford to buy stuff. This is weird. Like, this is a weird thing. And so having access, it's a weird problem to have, I guess, but having access to the games and a huge backlog, like I think that everyone has, I haven't been able to really sit and focus on one thing. I've just been bouncing around from different games. But in and of itself, it's been fun just kind of playing and not thinking critically about it, not having to write anything, has been really helpful. Like, really beneficial for my brain.
That's good.
What about you, Tess?
So I decided to watch a couple movies. And nice. I watched The Harder They Fall, because that was released on Netflix.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Loved
not
it.
Now, but
not now. Soon. We'll do another show. But that was fun. That was lots of fun. And I also watched Passing. And, I mean, that hurts. That's a sad one. And I mean, you could say they're both sad, but it was actually just a lot of fun to watch Harder They Fall, because I didn't even care at one point about story. I just was really having fun with with all these people on horses and just shooting and the outfits. I always love the outfits. It was so much fun. I mean, come on, can you get mad at a movie that has like Jonathan Majors just doing what he does because he's just that type of person? I swear he's always like on top of something. He's always climbing on something. Like, you know, like crouching down and standing on top. He want to stand on top of the desk.
I've never noticed that aspect of him, but continue.
anyway, so there's that. And of course, you know, Idris Elba being as fine as he can be because that's just who he is. And then Lakeith Stanfield being himself, he's just so freaking odd. Then he won a speech Cherokee and whatnot. I was just like, this is fun. This is fun. I don't know where the heck Regina King was supposed to be from. I'm pretty sure she's supposed to be from the Bayou. But I was just, I was having so much fun. This is so silly. It was great. That was a lot of fun. And then, of course, I watched Passing. So, yeah, we can discuss those for another day. But I did that. And then, of course, you know, I played that silly game on my phone, which we must not speak about.
Oh, the MMO game?
Yeah. That's so dramatic.
It's such a thing with the players that you tell me about. We have a show on that as well, because
yes,
it just reminds me. It actually, well, before I talk about that, because that goes into our first topic. Sanya, what have you been doing this week?
I thought I would revisit my backlog, but that didn't happen. And I just ended up unpacking because like everyone's playing it and I keep seeing like spoilers. And I was just like, okay, this looks like my type of game because I love packing and organizing and all of that stuff. Like I would just do it for fun. So this game seemed really appealing and it has like a story. So I was like, why not? And so, yeah, I started that. It's pretty good. Like I think it was better than I thought it would be because I was just like just unpacking and putting stuff in places, but it's got like a emotional feel to it, which I like. I like anything that's like emotional or like sad or deep or anything. So that's why I was just like, okay, this game has two things I really love. So I was playing that. Besides that, I don't think, yeah, I'm just so bad with playing any game. This is like the first time I played a game like after it released, like probably this whole year. Everything just goes to my backlog. Like I usually start like a year later. That's when I catch up to all the games. I'm so bad. This was I pushed myself because I was like, I see all these other people. They're like playing all these games. Talk about it. I have no idea what to say. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't play that many games.
You and I are going to be great friends. We're the same. I've got all kinds of games. I've got games on my Xbox that I bought like forever ago. I mean, what did I buy? I bought Assassins, right, Kenny?
Assassin's Creed, yeah.
I bought Assassins, the Egypt one. This was a long time ago. Yeah, Origins. Yeah. Not when it was released, because I can't afford games when they're new. But when it was like on super sale and it was like, oh, by the way, and you get all this special stuff with it. I was like, heck yeah. And I got it. I don't even know if I finished the tutorial. It was so pretty. I just wanted to stand there and like look at the sun and not do anything. And then I think I learned something about myself. And like, I do like video games. I really, really do. But I also think I like just watching them. Mm-hmm. You know, and like, I don't mean like just watching the character stand still and breathe, but I mean, if somebody else could play the game way better than me and I could sit next to them, like I don't necessarily want to watch the videos on YouTube, like of somebody else playing, because then I can't control them. But like if somebody's sitting near me and I can be like, no, 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 go to the left. And then I don't get to feel half of the anxiety of the controller shaking.
Yeah.
It's another conversation. Anyway, I think we'll be best friends.
See, that's dope, because like that's something like being when I was younger, that's how I kind of experienced a lot of single player games. My friends would have like Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. I've never, outside of the remake, I've never beaten it myself.
Yeah.
It would always be a thing where like we would pass the controller back and forth and kind of watch each other play, and that's how we beat those games, you know, over time. And so that's like a thing. That's a thing. You should definitely watch me play on Twitch, though. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
So, also though, I guess the first thing that I saw, Sonya, that on Twitter about you was that you do art. You're an illustrator.
Yeah.
How did you get into that? Because I'm an illustrator myself, so I'm always kind of curious about those things.
So I do like various types of art, and then I started doing like illustration, I think like around like 2 years ago. I was always like a painter, and like I do like traditional art, like I do like realistic drawings and stuff. But I've always wanted to do illustrations because I feel like there's so much creativity that goes behind it, and like just digital art. So I was like, okay, I'll try it out. And I got better at it. And I was just like, get it. I got really into, like, that's all I make now is like digital art. I like once in a while will do traditional art, but that's kind of what I've like kind of turned into, I guess, a digital artist now. So, well, the illustrations, it takes a while. Like I couldn't even before, like even on my tablet, like my hand would literally just slip. Because I'm not used to that. Like, you feel the texture of the paper, the paintbrush, right. And like, mm-hmm. with this, it's just like, ugh. But like, I've gotten better at it. And then I do illustrations, just like commissions, but I also do them at IGN now for like their editorial stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's been really cool. I've been doing that for like a couple months now. So it's just really nice to like combine illustration with gaming. It's like, perfect. You got like two hobbies combining, but it's just like another creative avenue. I feel like digital art in itself just opens so many different doors of creativity. But yeah,
that's what's up. I saw like some of it I know from IGN articles, but then also just on your feed, and I don't want to say impressed because I don't want to sound like I'm somebody, but I was impressed by the line work and the quality there. It's really, really good stuff. Like everyone, I'm going to like post your stuff like below this, but everyone should go follow and check out her art. It's really great stuff. And especially the things you do with color and even this, you know, like the subject matter, the things that I can't speak for all of it because I've only seen bits and pieces here and there, but what I've seen of it has been really cool. And so I was like, oh, I'll check this out. And that's kind of how I was like, yeah, I'm going to follow this particular person because the art was really cool. And then some of the things you were saying about different topics, I was like, okay, this person seems cool, you know, to follow. And then all of us have like similar hobbies or similar, you know, thoughts on things, whereas gaming or art, and in this case, you know, with some of the things that we're talking about, being social media, which actually brings us into our first topic, because I bumped into you on social media, on Twitter, and which is how we kind of got to this point. And so I was wondering how do you guys feel about social media in the midst of the pandemic, and how has it been, you know, helpful or harmful? I know for me, it's been a little bit of both. And it was like that before the pandemic where, you know, Twitter can be a rough place to navigate. At the same time, it's great for potential jobs. Like I would see a posting where someone would say, you know, we need a freelancer for this particular thing. And I would jump in and, you know, put my name in the hat and potentially land a job that way. Or someone would see my work somewhere and find me on Twitter. And then actually that's how I got my articles on Games Radar. One of the editors hit me up and was like, hey, I like what you do over here. We would really like for you to write for us, you know, a couple articles or whatever. And so in that sense, Twitter has been great. Even Facebook to an extent. At the same time, it's incredibly toxic. There's a lot of people just say stuff like, and not even, I think with the pandemic, it's gotten worse because people who I you know, I respect or my peers have gotten really catty, really nasty with each other. And it's made it difficult to kind of have any type of conversation about anything because people are quick to explode into a fire and whatnot on Maine. And I'm wondering, is that something from the pandemic? Because we're all kind of stuck in one place. Well, at least we were for a while stuck in one place. Our outlets were kind of streaming and Twitter. Like that was, you know, that's where doom scrolling comes from. Like those are our things. And I think because of that, people are like edgy or like on edge. And so they're very quick to snap at one another. One thing that I've noticed recently has been this thing that people do where there's something that's really important to them, which is fine. But they speak in a way that if it's not important to you at that particular moment, then you've done something wrong. And a lot of it, unfortunately, not no offense to my white folks out there, but a lot of it is coming from our white counterparts where they would say something and it's like, you know, there was one person complaining about cars, like we just shouldn't have cars. And I was like, that sounds nice unless you're poor or you're like a person of color who lives in a place that's been segregated purposefully and you kind of need a vehicle because there's no public transportation. And so like your fervent like anger about this subject, it makes you say things that are a little off, you know, in some cases racist. And it's like, okay, we'll give you a pass. You've gone through a lot. And I think black people kind of are really quick to pick their hills to die on. But then at the same time, it's like, if you don't, you know, adhere to whatever logic, it's like, there's no wiggle room. There's no gray area. And so that turns into fighting. And then before you know it, this editor from this outlet is yelling at that editor and, you know, people are throwing shade left and right. And at that point, I just log off. Like, I'm done. I'm done with the people. Yeah. And so I'm curious to know, like, is this something that is, am I experiencing this in a bubble? Or I know, Tess, you're not online as often.
Yeah, so I was like, you need to throw all this to Sonia because I just, I mean, what? I go on Reddit. I've discussed this on our show before. I like to read Am I the Asshole on Reddit because yeah. It's just so... it's almost like a version of the train wreck of 90 Day Fiance. Like,
oh gosh,
it's just so much fun, like reading the things that these people come up with. And, you know, some of these things, you know, are not real. Like some people who clearly want to write or become writers or something decide to just write stuff and post it. They just have to. There's so many throwaway accounts. And there's people who literally say the craziest stuff. Like, for example, this guy's like, my wife brought me lunch at work. Like, I just started a new job. And, you know, the guys there are kind of like jokey and kind of bully-y. My wife brought me food to work. And they've been teasing me about it every day. And I go to work and they're like, is your wife going to bring you a packed lunch or whatever? And they're like teasing him. And he hates it and he's just over it. He thinks it's so horrible that they're treating him this way. So his wife like brings him lunch again and then he like blows up at her. I don't remember if he did it at work or at home, but like he blows up at her and it's like, don't bring me lunch. This is silly. Like all the guys at work are just they're teasing me. They're being mean. And he's like, I just don't want you to do that. I don't need you to do that for me. And she's like, how about you tell your punk ass coworkers that they're childish? And like, stop coming at me because I ain't do nothing. I just made you some lunch because there was leftovers and I figured you didn't have, like, aren't we, I thought we were saving money here. Like, I just did a good thing. I brought you lunch.
Isn't that the same guy who was like, his wife, oh no, that's another one where his wife was giving him money for lunch or something. Like they were,
yeah.
No, they decided not to buy lunch because it would cost right. too much. And right. so she got an extra job to give yeah. him money.
She was making him lunches. That's what she was doing.
That's what it was. She yeah. was making him lunches.
He was selling them.
He was selling
them.
The lunches to go buy lunch.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's he like, was selling the lunches to
people.
Go buy lunch.
Oh like, my this gosh.
It's not the same guy. This is another guy. Like,
okay,
the internet
this is another one.
It's another guy. The internet is full of nice guys. Like, this guy literally just he blows up on her and she's like, you need to slow all of your roles because you're about to end up wifeless if you keep on this path. And he has the nerve to ask us, is he the asshole for, and he called her names. Like, he, I was like, you called your wife who made you food, drove to your job and brought it to you. You called her names. Meanwhile, there's a woman on TikTok who's making a killing by videotaping the lunches that she makes for her husband and his coworkers because they got so jealous that she was bringing him like arepas and all kinds of like good stuff. They were like, wait, this isn't right. And she's like, oh, your coworkers want food too? And she started making, and she has a whole TikTok channel. So how is this guy screaming at his wife and calling her names for bringing him lunch? You don't deserve a wife. And so that's what I spend my time doing because it makes me feel great. That's the social media that I interact with. I don't have Facebook. I ain't got time for that. And I think I may have mentioned this before. Like, one of the things that really made me just give up on Facebook is like, I had a really hard time with just like letting stuff go. So, you know, like when somebody posts something that, you know, isn't real or right, and it could be the smallest thing. Like, somebody could have been like decided that they wanted to go and find a picture of the sunset on Jupiter or some nonsense, which I don't think we have a picture of that. Like, because like, let's say like this, the satellite was right outside of Neptune right now. And like somebody posts a picture from like 1961. I'm like, you know, that's from 1961, right? Like, that's not today. Anyway, that's some BS. That's some nonsense. That's some neuroticism. No, the other thing is I really don't like to be quiet when somebody posts something that's wrong. Like, that's just not right. Like, you know, people continue to post memes that are, you know, political memes that are incorrect. And it's like, I just can't, like, if I'm friends with you on Facebook, like, I can't let that go. And I realized that was putting a lot of energy on me. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to be the Facebook police because my Facebook friends are ignorant as hell. What I can do is delete Facebook because I just don't need it. And I need any parts of it. So, you know, I'm rarely on, I might scroll through Instagram because there's funny stuff. And I go through Twitter because Black Twitter is hilarious. And I, of course, I have to look at Black People Pets because I just found this. My sister just introduced me to Black People Pets on, I think it's, I don't remember if it's on Instagram or Twitter. It doesn't matter, whatever. But there's a thing called Black People Pets and it's hilarious. So those are the things that I engage in. And occasionally I might get a tweet out and there's just no point because nobody follows me. So it doesn't matter if I tweet or not. So, there's no point to it. So that's how I feel. I can't say social media has, like, throughout this whole pandemic, if it's been better for me or not better for me. I think that it's been better for some people and not better for some people. And those people then go ahead and write about it and put it on the internet and then I consume it. So maybe it's been better for me. The end result is maybe it's been better for me.
I dig it.
Sonia, please.
I get it. Yeah. Yes, yes.
No, I agree. Like, for some people, I think it probably hasn't been that great because a lot of people were struggling with, like, being inside constantly. And that's why, like, TikTok got so popular too. Mm-hmm. Like, it was already popular, but it got like way popular during like the lockdown, early lockdown, especially like in last March or whenever that was. Mm-hmm. So, but for me personally, it's helped me out a lot because like finding jobs like during COVID, like I did interviews and they'd just be like, oh, we're holding off right now. We're holding off. And I was like, damn it. So then I was like, okay, I need to get more like freelance work. And I was like, I have to start like putting myself out there because I feel like if you are a person of color, then you kind of need to utilize a little bit of social media to like get yourself seen. Because I feel like if you don't get yourself seen, then people won't really like act like you exist. Like they won't like acknowledge you. So That's why I've been like really vocal and just like trying to be myself, but also like putting my work on there to be like, hey, like, because I've been in the industry like on and off, like writing and stuff for so long, but like nobody knew who I was until I started tweeting mm-hmm. on like for like about like a year now almost. I've had Twitter for a while, but like I never used it. But I mm-hmm. started to during the pandemic because I was like, I need to start putting my work on there and start interacting with other people too, because I only knew like very, very few people in games journalism, and like I barely knew any game developers. But like in a year my life has completely changed. Like I get enough work now, and like I'm doing so much more than I could have imagined. So for me it's helped, but there is like that with social media, it can't just all be good. Like there's always like there's other people's negativity and like you getting too into it, because sometimes I feel like right. I get so into it that like it's almost like you're kind of imprisoned. Like it like imprisons your brain, where like you just want to not just even scroll, but like you just want to know what's going on. Like if I take a break from, I mean, there's always something going on in the games industry, so mm-hmm. it's hard to like disconnect from that, especially because so much happens on Twitter. The conversations happen on Twitter, and then news breaks out, it goes to Twitter, and then people yeah. are sharing their articles on Twitter, and it's like when you want to break away, and it's like you feel like you're actually missing out on your job almost. Mm-hmm. It's such a yeah. weird, like, you have to balance your personal life and your job, but like so much of news happens here, and it's like you can't be free from it, because like yeah, you have to like rely on it almost.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
Yeah, I think it has helped me for the most part, because I feel like I've like my work is being seen, and I can talk about things, and I can reach out to people, and like I can interact with people. I could like DM people. I can create threads of information, help spread information, or ask people for help on things. Like I was struggling with like pitching something, and I just like put out a thing at like on Twitter, like, hey, I need help with this. And then, you know, either do that or join a Discord group or whatever it is. But I can never do two social media at the same time. I've realized, like, if I'm on Twitter, I cannot do Instagram. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how people will be like on TikTok, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram, Twitter. Like, I cannot do that. Like, if I post my art on Instagram, that's like the only time I'm on there. And then everything else is on Twitter. But I feel like at least I have that. I think that's a healthy-ish balance. Not perfect, but somewhat okay balance. But yeah, I think for me personally, it's been decent. And I think a lot of people wanted to take advantage of social media during the pandemic, because like everyone's on there. Everyone's bored. Everyone's trying to look up stuff or figure out things to do, or interact with people and like make digital friends or whatever. But
it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, because you think about, I mean, so many people started streaming again. I know I started streaming again because of the pandemic. I was like, you know, this will be a cool project to do. And if it turns out to be a good thing, then cool. It also helps my branding in the idea that I'm not just doing writing, but I'm behind the camera, or this, you know, me and Tess decided to bring up, you know, this podcast. We've been talking about it for forever, but mm-hmm. like right before the pandemic hit, we were like, this will be a good time. And then with the pandemic, it was like, this is a great time.
Right. Because, so we're not doing anything else. So.
Right. Like this is a great time, because we talk about these type of things all the time anyways. And so it was like, yeah, we should probably do that. We have the time mm-hmm. to make this happen, you know? But yeah, it's the same thing. Like I only have Instagram mainly for the verses. Mm-hmm. The versus shows or whatever. That's why I got Instagram. I've been putting some pictures up because I'm like, I might as well use it. I mean, I got the thing. But
yeah.
for the most part, I put up some artwork, and I put up some when I first got my blue check on Twitter, I was like, okay, on Instagram, I was like, okay, if you follow me, you get extra cool points. Or just something to that effect to kind of know that, or let people know that I'm around. And mm-hmm. with that, my followers on Twitter actually went up. And so there was ways of kind of combining the two in certain instances. But for the most part, it's just Twitter. And like you were saying about the news, even if it's not game related, so much news hits Twitter before it hits any other place. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like knowing about, I remember in Virginia when we had the earthquake a few years back, mm-hmm. and it was on Twitter first. Before anyone spoke about it in the news anywhere, someone tweeted, "We're having an earthquake."
Well, like, I was in a shaking building, so I didn't need to go on the news.
Yeah, there's that too. But I mean, like, for the people who didn't know, they interviewed the guy who tweeted out that they were having an earthquake. Like, he was on the news because the news couldn't, even though they were like scrambling to say something, it wasn't as fast. Or even mm-hmm. like, you know, unfortunately, like if we have an active shooter or something like that, like the news travels so quickly through Twitter that you can reach a bunch of people very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so definitely understand like wanting to be there a lot. I'm on there a lot. But at the same time being like, oh, like maybe I need to clock out for tonight. Cause good gosh, it's people are losing their minds. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Hopefully once we kind of get through this, you know, COVID thing, excuse me, that we will kind of mellow out or kind of like rebalance ourselves to kind of be okay with interacting with people online. Like tensions are high for a lot of the time. And so I'm hoping that things improve, but yeah, it's definitely been good in places. The next thing we want to talk about is Activision. Activision Blizzard is continually messy and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And not even from like you know, it's easy to be to bring this up for selfish reasons, like you know I feel a way about playing their games or whatever. But even if you're not that, like even if you're okay with, and not to, no judgment for anybody who's playing like Call of Duty or whatever, but even if you're okay with playing their games right now, you can't even enjoy their games because they're still doing stuff in the games. I was looking at, and I got this from Twitter, so there you go, where there in the current Call of Duty Vanguard, there are like scripture or holy text pulled from the Quran, I believe, and
yeah,
where people can like walk on it. I haven't played the game. I've only seen snippets here and there, and I've seen my friends like Rami talk about it, and so I was curious, like, what is going on? And so as I'm reading up about it, I'm like, wait, really? Like, why? And so, you know, Activision, actually, no, not Activision. The Call of Duty East, I believe, actually gave an apology and, you know, expressed that it will be removed from the game and et cetera, et cetera. But I don't believe Activision as a whole said anything. They kind of just mums the word right now. And it's like, why? Like, it wasn't, from what I've read, it's not, you know, important for the plot. It's not important for whatever they're trying to depict. It was just there as like extra scenery, I guess. Why though? Like, what? Yeah. And so you have this whole thing where like you could potentially, because you know how video games work, a company has a lot of bad going on with the company, but then they release a big game and people kind of, I don't want to say people forget about it because I don't want to pigeonhole people into being one track minded. Some of us have to cover the game. We don't have a, you know, we don't have a choice. And, mm-hmm. you know, so you, even with your big release of the year, you still can't wiggle out of stuff. You still can't like maneuver around without having problems, you know, and that's on top of, you know, them having the lawsuits right now, and, you know, even in places where you think they have a win, like for instance, I'm looking at an article about Activision, Blizzard's contract worker win. This is from Megan at, I think it's Axios. I'm not sure how to pronounce this, the website, but they talk about how Activision is granting additional benefits to contract workers. For anybody who doesn't know about contract work in the games industry. It's really bad. There is, you know, rampant overtime and crunching, and they're typically not treated like part of the team, even though they do a ton of work. And there's always this idea that, like, once this game ships, then I'm out of here. I don't have a job anymore. And so what they do is, it's kind of like, it's almost incentivized for them to work longer. Like, someone higher ups won't necessarily go to them and say, hey, we need you to work, you know, for 48 hours straight. However, your partner over here, this person is working for however long, it kind of looks bad if you don't work with us. And so they will, you know, because the idea is to get a full-time job, like not just contract work. And so they'll push themselves, and the higher ups will be like, yeah, do that, please. And then as soon as the game launches, it's like, okay, bye. And even in of that, which is bad enough, there's reports of, you know, toxic behavior, people being treated, you know, poorly. And so there was a lot, a lot to do about how they were being treated. And the company's contractors and QA and customer service were, you know, expressing how toxic things have been. And there's going to be changes, apparently. They're going to have paid holidays, which is, I don't think contractors have paid holidays ever. And I could be wrong. Any of my game dev, homies out there, please correct me if I'm wrong, but contractors don't really have holidays from what I've understood. They'll be getting 13 paid holidays a year, effective immediately. They'll also have sick days. They'll have a $17 hourly pay rate for the temporary workers that are below that rate. So, you know, anybody above it is fine. And they'll have learning and development programs. Sorry.
Anybody getting paid in 1701 is staying at 1701.
Correct. Correct. They made sure to say that. They made sure to say, like, hey, you can't get, hey, come on, son. You can't get too much money. Okay.
Wow.
But one of the big things that I saw outside of the paid holidays was a learning and development program for both employees and temporary workers. And what I think that's dope is because potentially working there, I mean, you would think like working there, you would have enough experience to get a job because you're working on major games. But if that's not the case, having these development programs could kind of help train you. It's a little problematic in terms of how this happens. I don't know if you do this off, like when you're not working, or on out, like company time. I don't know how that works. But it's supposed to begin next year. And I think it could be a benefit if everything works out and they're able to do that without being forced to work extra overtime. So like it's this weird spot that Activision is in. They're still being sued, and one of the companies that's suing them, unfortunately, is having issues because what we talked about a few podcasts ago, it's conflicts with a settlement for another company or another entity that's suing them. And because of that, Activision is leaning on the company. I think it was a DEEH. I can't remember the acronym, like broken up. I think it's California's Department of Fair Employment. I think that's what it is. They were accused of basically being messy. Like they had previous toxic issues in their own entity. And Activision's like, look, these people aren't, they can't be trusted. So I think we should just drop the suit, is essentially what they're saying. And the other company that Activision is settling with, the other entity that's also suing them, but you know they're going to settle for a measly amount of money. They're backing Activision on that, and so there's all this like fighting back and forth. And so whenever there's a win with Activision, there seems to be a loss with Activision. They can't seem to get things together, and that's just indicative of like how bad the company has been run. Not necessarily, you know, monetarily, but in terms of how it treats its workers, how it treats women in general, how it treats people of color, pay issues, how it treats contractors. Like all of this stuff is blowing up in Activision's face, and they can't seem to, you know, put out all the fires quick enough. And so I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about that, because even though we kind of, you know, we've spoken about them at length here and there, the fact that they keep coming up, it's like, when is something, for me anyways, when is something major going to happen? When is something where the CEO is stepping down? Or, you know, in the case of like Ubisoft, where like some major people step down, we heard about some firings, but we don't know who those people were. You know what I'm saying? Like there wasn't, it hasn't shaken them enough to potentially fix everything. And so I'm kind of wondering, like, when is that going to happen? Are they going to have to go to court and potentially lose a ton of money? Or is it going to be one of those things where, you know, they just shift some people around and, you know, they release another game and everything is, you know, how it was before. Like I'm curious because every time I see a win, I see another loss. And I'm like, what is going on over there?
I think that they have a lot of money and they have a lot of lawyers.
Oh yeah.
And if your lawyers can do clearly what their lawyers are doing, because if major, like, you know, CEOs, CFOs, CCOs, COOs are not stepping down, then the shareholders aren't asking them to step down. And at least, maybe I'm just saying this with not knowing anything, but if you have a board, if you have shareholders or something, like, if that's not happening, then I don't want to say some people are happy, but they've got a lock on something that's keeping them there. And if a lot of action isn't happening, like a lot of, I guess, you know, traction on the things that we've discussed previously, if things aren't truly, like if there's not a lot of real action going on, I think that the lawyers are doing what the company wants them to do. And that doesn't necessarily, that's not good for the people who've been hurt by this, but it means that they've got a lot of money and they have like two of the biggest games ever. And I can see the influence that Call of Duty has over people. And can you imagine? I don't think you need to imagine. I think it's kind of just a matter of knowledge. There's a lot of money here, and money is the one that does the talking. So I kind of feel like the people lose out in this situation. Kind of sucks. That was so so bleak. I'm sorry.
I mean, it, like every, I don't know, like all of it is just so, I don't know, so bad. Not just like the lawsuits, but like, I remember earlier this year, they said looking for diverse candidates would make things like complicated or something.
Yeah, I heard that. Like trash.
Yeah. And like, it just like, it's very repetitive and like, I don't know if it'll get better anytime soon, which is kind of like such a sad thing to say, but like they're such a big company and they've had problems over and over again for years, and even this year they've just been like every other month it's like a new thing. And then them hiring what was that, Townsend, the lady that used to be like in the Homeland Security, like that helped George W. Bush, like she's looking over some of the stuff, like corporate stuff for Activision. And it's just like, okay, you're gonna hire these type of people. And she also like didn't acknowledge any of the women that were speaking up against Activision. And like she, I don't know, I forgot, like she did some speech or like something that like talking about women in the workplace or something while this was going on, and like people like called her out and stuff. That's why she like deactivated her Twitter temporarily or whatever. Like there's so many layers to this, and it's like this is nice to know that like they're giving more benefits to temporary workers, but it's just like you could like smile for like a second about it, and then you just go back to remembering all these other things that they aren't fixing, and like how they're not even allowing unions. Like it's like that's nice, but like you won't acknowledge unions. They're like so anti-union, also, and
They know what they know what unions are capable of. They're scared.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're trying to do whatever they can that won't go completely against themselves and like still kind of like be in people's good graces and like not, you know, like they're trying to save themselves, I guess, but like it doesn't seem like real progress. Like this is good news, but like it's not big enough for all their mistakes and all the stuff that came out over the summer and like just so many people coming out about like how horrible they had an experience at Activision and like those stories. It doesn't remove those stories. It doesn't fix those stories. So I think they have a really long way to go because for a company that big that has so many that publishes like one of some of the biggest games in the whole like games industry.
It doesn't
like make their image look that much better, but yeah.
I have a solution. And I think that I'm probably the best person to do this because, you know, I'm in love with him. So I'm going to call Henry Cavill and I know he plays Overwatch and I'm just going to be like, so can you like do something, you know, and do it as like Geralt.
But I'm like, that's random.
It's kind of random, but you know, maybe it'll have an effect. I don't know, but you know, you know how people were doing their boycott? They were doing like the sit-ins earlier this year. They did it in World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
I'm like, because if what we're feeling right now is like not enough is happening, you always have to hit someone in the pocketbooks. And, you know, if Geralt gets on social media and says, I'm not playing Overwatch anymore until these people figure out their lie. I don't know. I
I would want to, and granted, I know there's things that they can't do depending on who you are in the company. Your power is locked or you might have an agreement with someone in terms of like removing people. But I would definitely, and then there's also people who are saving themselves. Like, if I remove this person, will he spill the beans on things that I did that they know of? You know, things like that. But I would be cleaning shop. Like, you know, what? This is not going well. I'm being sued by, you know, two entities. I also have the board is pissed at us. You know what I'm saying? We have a bad, you know, our name is below EA at this point, is the worst company, which is, that's always a hilarious thing to me, but they actually have a reason now.
And
it's like, you know what? It got so bad to the point where they remove Activision from all of the, like their logos and stuff off of Call of Duty when they were like showing it off. Like that's how bad it's gotten. And so it's like, you know what? Just everybody, what are your demands? You got it. Boom. What do you need? You got it. You want that? You want that? Okay, you got that too. Boom. What do you need? You're okay. Cool. I would do everything because you're not. Honestly, the amount of money that they make, you know, because even when I looked at the settlement that they were trying to, you know, go through, it wasn't that much money. I mean, it's millions, but it's not. It's pennies to them. When you're making billions, it's not. That's nothing. And so, it's like you make so much money that you could literally throw money at this. And that's not necessarily going to fix everything, but you could literally throw a ton of money and you know, whatever demands they want, give it. And still come out looking better than you are right now. And they don't even want to do that. There's this weird thing in and of itself in the gaming industry where we have to make more money each year and we have to eclipse what we did before. Or we have to, at the very least, you know, secure a bag for the person we just hired. I remember when Activision laid off a bunch of workers and then gave a new guy that they hired, I think like a higher up, like a huge bonus. And they had made like, they had one of the best years they had and laid off a bunch of people. Like trash like that. Like it's, you can be okay. It's okay. You would still make tons and tons of money. Call of Duty sells really well. It's okay.
Yeah.
And they won't even do that. It's like, and that's why I was wondering what would it take. I think it would have to be someone going to jail. I think it would be someone, or at the very least, someone of such a magnitude being fired or removed from a board that everybody else will get afraid and like, okay, we need to change everything now, you know? And it's hard because like you said, with their lawyers and how well they've been insulated for so long, that's a tough fight. It's definitely a, you know, a tough fight. And that's, it's really rough, especially on the outside looking in, not knowing exactly what's going on, not being able to enact the type of change we would like to enact, being that we're not working there. Rather difficult, but I'm hoping things look, you know, improve with time. I know it's going to take baby steps, but I hope things get better. Shout out to the, you know, contractors out there. You're getting more money and hopefully, you know, with the paid sick time and the holiday, you won't be crunching as much as before and potentially land, you know, good jobs. Maybe not at Activision, but other places.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, in order to continue out your gaming career. Because wow, that's just special. Beyond that, the last thing we wanted to talk about was Dune. Came out not too long ago on HBO Max. It's also in theater. Yeah, it's in theater. And a lot of talk about Dune, and especially on Twitter. So I kind of wanted to, you know, have our podcast or have our big talk about Dune. But I wanted to bring Sonya in because she has a unique perspective that I don't think we have, or at the very least can speak to certain things that we can't speak to. So there's some things that we wanted to talk about in terms of the movie, whether we liked it or not, and then we kind of go through everything else. For me, someone who hasn't read the book in like a million years and who hasn't, I think the only thing I really remember is the like the original film or the original TV series back in the day. I don't remember much of the book. And then also like what my, because my wife read it recently and was able to give me more information about what's happening. Me watching the film, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the pacing. I enjoyed the story. It wasn't boring because there's a lot of talking. There's a lot of, the action is very minimal, but it isn't something that I would fall asleep on like I did with the last Star Wars. It was actually, you know, it kept me engaged. And
you mean you fell asleep when Rey and what's his face were kissing and he disappeared?
Apparently I fell asleep. I went to you know, the Rise of Skywalker thinking like, okay, they can't but be so bad. And yeah. And granted, I like all Star Wars for the most part. Even the ones that, you know, the prequels that people, everyone thinks are really, really bad. I like those too.
They are.
But I like them because I like Star Wars. And even this movie, I just had a hard time with. Like, good grief. But anyways, that's neither here or there. Going back to Dune, I didn't fall asleep. That's my point. I also enjoyed, I wasn't like bothered by how it ended. It reminded me of the Lord of the Rings, you know, when they're like walking off after a major character dies. I was like, this is really sudden and weird, and not understanding that this is working for a, you know, towards a trilogy. Whereas Dune is like, well, we could have a trilogy. I don't know. And then it's like, okay, yeah, we are. We just greenlit the second film. So it ended decent enough where I wasn't upset. And I think at a good stopping place, if you know, like how the story goes. So there's a lot of stuff that I enjoy. There's some things that I didn't enjoy. There was things that needed to be kind of explained that wasn't explained, at least to me, well in the film. There's certain themes. There's certain, even conversations that are, it's kind of depicted as if you've read or if you are aware of the lore already. And I never liked that with a film because ideally it should be able to stand on its own, right? Like not everybody has read Dune. Not everybody has seen the original film. And we're not all going to know the hell you're talking about. So you should probably inform us in a way that, you know, and not to say there has to be a lot of exposition, but at least, you know, keep your audience abreast of what's going on. And so there was a couple things where I didn't understand why the big bad felt the way about this person and all this other stuff. And it, you know, it took me watching and kind of rewatching some scenes and then my wife kind of explaining who certain characters were and why they were a big deal. And I was like, oh, that makes so much more sense. I like this movie a little bit more now. So I think there was some issue there. And for films like this, it's kind of difficult to fit in everything because you have a big story and, you know, how much do you tell? You know, do you need this scene or not? Like things mm-hmm. like that. Right? And so beyond that, though, I really like the shots. I like, you know, the worlds or multiple worlds. I like how mm-hmm. the characters look. And I do like how in certain instances they kind of place you in the world and they don't explain everything. They just kind of let you live it. I think that's really cool. Similar to like Mad Max Fury Road, like they don't really tell you everything. They just kind of like you watch and you're like, oh, I get it. And it works really well. You're a part of the story. So there's a couple places like that. But at the same time, there were some places where I didn't know who this person was talking about. I didn't know why they were angry all the freaking time. I didn't know. But overall, I kind of liked it. I thought that was good. What about you, Tess?
So I actually just had a thought. It just came to my mind. And I liked the movie, but I didn't like it as much as I wanted to, I think. And I think I was a little bit let down. I really enjoyed the previews. And I did. I really enjoyed the previews. And I was so excited because I've seen the other film. Right. And that, so what I was just thinking in my head was that film stands on its own very well because it's just a cult classic. It's completely ridiculous. And it you don't even want another movie after that one.
You really don't.
That is enough. That's like 3 hours of your life. You right. don't need anything. And so... And it's I shouldn't say it's hella confusing, but a lot of the stuff that doesn't make sense, a lot of stuff that doesn't have answers, you don't want the answers to them. You don't want them. You don't want answers. You just are you going to watch Sting be crazy and you just kind of get over it. You just accept what you have in front of you. And, you know, if you like to drink and trip acid, then you do that as well while you watch this. Like I wouldn't know.
It's such a random thing to
The thing is, I don't think it's that random to most of the fans of that movie. So I feel like that movie accomplished it didn't accomplish what it set out to do. It accomplished a completely different goal. 109,000% different goal that film accomplished. And I know that that's not what they wanted, but they got it. So you just got to take your wins where you get them. As for this one, unfortunately, it's much more of an interesting film. There's so many more questions. There's so many things that you want to know more about. It's almost like reading a book that has big words and you don't have a glossary. Like, you know, in school, you would have mm-hmm. there's a glossary and you're like, oh, excuse me, Mrs. So-and-so, the glossary is not in my book. Well, I guess you're going to stay dumb because I don't have time.
Wow.
To
explain. That's not how that works.
It's not how it's supposed to work in the education system, but a lot of kids get left behind. And that's what happened in this movie. So... just saying, I'm putting your experience and my experience and maybe even yours too, Sonia, that yes, there's so much that happens in this movie that doesn't have answers. It doesn't have, you know, if you didn't read the books, if you don't know the lore, and that's okay. I was okay with that because I knew that I knew it wasn't going to just be one movie because that's dumb. I just knew
yeah,
that
it'd be way too long.
It would be way too long. And I also knew, I mean, like the first one was crazy and so many things happen and you're sitting here like, eh. So I knew that they would want to dismantle that and make a new film. Plus they got the highest billed actors they could. Like I knew that there was going to be more. Okay. And so I was okay with that. I was actually disappointed with some other things. So yes, I finished the movie and I felt disappointed. I remember watching it. I was watching it on my my bigger TV, and I was just like, okay. I'm slightly disappointed. There's a couple reasons why I was disappointed, but I don't know how it looked when people went to like IMAX or whatever theaters, because I can't do that right now. I am impaired and I can't deal with that level of sound, and I can't deal with a screen that large. I will have a seizure. But I felt like there was some visual things that were missing, and I wasn't sure if that was because of the time that we live in, the way that they're spending money on movies. And this is me splitting hairs. This is me nitpicking. I felt like some of the, not some, maybe like all of the CGI really, but I felt like the CGI had this a quick motion to it. You know, like when, for example, the spice, what are they called, guys? The spice things that pick up the spice?
I have no clue.
Oh, the big machines?
Yeah, the machines that collect the spice, I guess the spice collectors. So you remember how like the things were supposed to like come down and collect them, or those big things that the Atreides were traveling in, those spaceships. There was something about the movement, and I was looking at it on the screen and I was like, did somebody in the art department speed this up? Like, it felt like it was like on 0.2. when it should have been on 0. And that's just me, is I don't know if you guys experienced that. And I got my Sony, my 65 inch, and I have it on Cinema Pro. So it's on the right settings for me to not experience, because you know how you can watch stuff in sport mode, so stuff goes really fast.
Right.
And then you can watch it in movie mode, where it does that thing that's anti soap opera.
Right.
Like it slows things down anyway. So I was like, because everybody else was fine. Like the humans, all of the animate objects were fine. But when these big CGI things would come in, these huge machines, I was like, and it's just when they were flying, not when they were like moving on the ground for the most part, but like just some stuff that was in the air. I was like, So that's just something that I noticed and I took note of, because I was slightly disappointed with that, because some other stuff that's come out hasn't been like that. I'm like, we're in 2021, so CGI is like next to perfect. It's real. So I know other people are not going to agree with me because they didn't see what I saw, but I also just had a head injury, so I see a lot of things. Do not say that to my doctor. They might come and collect me.
Oh my gosh.
But... anyway, and then overall, I was left slightly, I guess there was more to be desired. And I don't know, like, I'm not knocking the movie, but I do think that there were some things that the movie did maybe improperly, maybe the director should have done better. And I have those opinions. But
Are you talking about like with casting or like particular scenes?
I liked the casting and stuff, but I really do want, obviously they need to make the rest of the movies, because they need to really get into the racial aspect of the film. I think they really think they need to get into that discussion. But I think it's important to, if you're going to take something that was written several decades ago, okay, if you're going to take something that was written 60 years ago or more than that, and apply it with using today's, what do you call it? Like today's sensitivities to the world.
Right.
You do still need to be somewhat true to what the author wanted, so that maybe I'm saying that wrong, because I do understand when people change stuff and make the art their own. But I think that Herbert had intentions in his work. And I think that also should be expressed in the movie and it should be made known.
As opposed to, like, because I know, like, he was, you know, people kind of, yeah, he got some criticism from the film that he kind of explained away poorly. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you want something, if you have a good intention, then be about that. But you have mm-hmm. to understand what you're showing visually. Like, the, you know, the whole idea of, like, a, you know, having the white savior trope. Mm-hmm. It's like, if that's not what you're going for, you did a really poor job of that. Like,
I know. In terms
of visual, and we can't go off of the part two because part two is not here.
It's not here
so
yet.
We have to go off of what you've shown us. Even yeah. if we got it wrong, it's like, well, this is what we saw, fam. Like, so you have yeah. to kind yeah. of be mindful of how people are gonna take what you're, you know, depicting on screen. Yeah.
I don't think you get to wait three movies in to let everybody know, yeah, so and so is not a white savior, and be like, yeah, but you kind of just spent an hour and a half, 2 hours of our time showing us that he really was. And right. and you didn't sneak in any information to let us know that that was wrong. Because, like, I think a lot of us do know the real deal, but most, again, you shouldn't have to know the lore. Because, look, you could watch the 1984 version and that dude is a white savior. Okay? Right. Hells to the yeah. Like, it, at the end of the day, that's it. They're praising him and everything and he is, come on. So if we're doing something different here, I think you do need a clue in the audience. But again, maybe the director just wanted that conversation to start. But if it's going to take us three more years to get another movie because they didn't decide to shoot like Lord of the Rings, what is wrong with you? You are not human, you monster. Sonya.
I think it was predicated by COVID. I really do.
Whatever.
Like you said, typically they shoot back to back. But if they're wondering if this is going to make any money during COVID, plus it being on HBO Max, I kind of understand why. But I think it did decent enough in theater. His box office is like $300 million.
Yeah.
So it did decent enough with the subscriptions that they're like, okay, we'll make another one. But I don't think it was kind of like, eh, this might work.
It was always going to work. They had Timotei and Zendaya.
Stop it.
What? They look so good together.
Like, they barely gave Zendaya like any lines.
That's because she's going to be a movie number two.
She was like just in his weird flashbacks. Those flashbacks were so annoying. Like how often they were. And I was just like, I just want to watch the movie. But then like every 2 seconds, it's just like Zendaya's eyes. Like, really? And it's just so, I don't know. It was like, I don't want to like be like, oh yeah, this part was annoying. But like, it really was.
Yeah.
It was disrupting the whole flow of the movie. Or like, were they trying to drag it out? I don't know what they were trying to do with that. Like, it was like every few seconds. Because like, we get the point.
Seriously, Sonya, that was bothersome. It just felt like it was making the movie longer. And I was like, y'all just I don't know how long it was. I actually don't remember anymore. But because I clearly had blacked out. And anyway, I just felt like they spent so much time telling us nothing. And I've already experienced that with season 4 of Insecure. I didn't need it again. From another HBO thing. So I have feelings that need to be rectified. Please continue.
he did have some young Anakin vibes going on there. He did. He did.
Well, you know, Star Wars is based off of Dune, so.
That's
it. Is.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I think so. Yeah.
That explains a lot all of a sudden.
Okay. you're like, well, you just had a Naru Hodo moment.
Yes, that you know that meme that they show from The Wire all the time. That's just happened. Like I literally turned around. Okay, but beyond the visions, what else did you think of the film?
I thought like overall it was okay. I didn't think it was anything that spectacular. Like visually, it was cool. Like. Everything they showed, like all the things they did, the ships, the costumes, the characters, the whole fighting and the sand. But yeah, like I spoke about like the representation part a lot mm-hmm. about Dune, because it's the book is inspired a lot by like Islam and Middle Eastern and North African cultures. So a lot of people kind of were like, well, there's nobody. Like when they first showed the cast before the movie came out, people were already talking about this. Like there's not anybody from that region in the movie at mm-hmm. all, even though like the whole book is based on it, or taken like mm-hmm. words even in the movie are taken from like languages from like in South Asia and Central Asia and the Middle East and North Africa, like and the clothing too, like the scarf over their heads and the black dresses they're wearing where their faces are covered, like a burqa type, whatever their costumes were, and the face jewelry, and they're like mm-hmm. Like language and just the dressing and the whole landscape too, like the movie even was mm-hmm. taken place like they shot the film in the Middle East in the desert. Yeah. So that was like the one thing I couldn't get over when I was watching it, because I knew that it was going to have these problems, and then like actually watching it and seeing mm-hmm. like the things recurring, and it just was like, okay, like there's no way they couldn't have added people like North African or mm-hmm. Middle Eastern people in this, or like explicitly just say that it's from these cultures and like be more like open about it. But like, yeah. I feel like Hollywood has this thing where they try to act like they're being progressive by removing important things that they actually mm-hmm. should have kept. Like, I compare this to like how in Avengers in Doctor Strange, when the ancient one, they made that a white lady, like mm-hmm. because they thought it was progressive and like cool to like not have like a East Asian person. But then mm-hmm. it's like, no, it's not like you should have an East Asian person, but you should actually portray them in a non-stereotypical way. That would be progressive. Mm-hmm. But in here, it's kind of the same thing where they removed a lot of like the book wasn't that like it wasn't like not orientalist, it was still like it had problems too in the story, because yeah. it was like a slightly like kind of like obsessive take on Islam and like those mm-hmm. cultures, but you could have fixed it in this
story.
What?
still a white guy telling the story.
Yeah it's basically like it's yeah, like when I saw pictures of, I don't know who it was, like one of the directors or something, I don't know, one of the white producers, directors, whoever it was, and in the Middle East, there was like a shot of him like producing or whatever, directing, I don't know, but he was just on the set and he's wearing like a keffiyeh, which is like a scarf that like a lot of Middle Eastern cultures were like in Palestine and stuff. So, and I'm just like, okay, like how do you wear that? And you're in a Middle Eastern setting, but you're not going to acknowledge like where the story comes from or like where these words come from or where a lot of these clothing and where the entire book comes from. And I think there were some reviewers that are like from those regions mm-hmm. that did review the movie. And like one of them talked about like how, one of the, I don't know again who it was, like one of the directors or producers was like talking about how they saw the problems in the books and then they didn't want to present like a stereotypical view. And then it's just like, you don't remove it though.
Right.
Like you just make it better. You change it for the better. Like mm-hmm. you don't be like, you're not supposed to be like, oh, let's just take it all out and just whitewash it. Like, Duncan Idaho or whatever his mm-hmm. name is, but like you just have to twist it in a way where you could actually be more appreciative mm-hmm. of the culture. Like even if the book did make a stereotypical presentation of whatever, like displayed Islam or mm-hmm. the Middle East or North Africa in a stereotypical way, whatever, but like at least now you can fix it with the Hollywood power you have. But no, they didn't do that. So that was like my problem. It's just like you're taking a story and like not even representing what it like the people from that region, but also like removing it is just, I don't know. It didn't make sense to me.
Don't say you don't know. No, we agree with you. What you're saying is absolutely accurate. And no, you're right. It's like they didn't. Did you hire a consultant? We talk about this a lot on our show. We've mentioned this with so many different shows. I mean, we still have to have conversations about Bridgerton again because we need to have that conversation again. We need to have, because Hollywood has this issue where they either don't get consultants. Hello, Mulan. I talked at length about Mulan. Yeah. You don't hire the right consultants, and or you've got a show like Emily in Paris where you've got somebody making Chinese jokes and the jokes are literally like, and then you realize, okay, it's Asian girl saying the jokes, but these jokes were definitely written by a white dude. Like,
yeah.
And you're sitting here like, wait, come on, man. You guys have money. You can hire a consultant, and it's not, and there were missed opportunities, I believe, in the movie. And I don't think that they, like, I feel like they tried to talk about imperialism in a different way, and they didn't talk about, they didn't go into it enough. And you needed to talk about, like, how everybody has a role, and how people, like, even the people that you think are supposed to be good are not. And I know that is definitely going to come later down the line in more movies. But again, that could have been done here.
Yeah.
We just lost that. I'm sitting here really trying to understand why the director made this decision to kind of like remove certain Islamic influences from the film, but then had no issue with Dr. Yue speaking Mandarin. Like,
yeah, it's, do you think that, because like you're saying, like, it's not even something where you would have to, unless he found out about this stuff in the middle of shooting, and then it's like, well, crap. But if you understood what you were trying to do in the sense that, like, okay, I don't want to depict whatever stereotypical, you didn't think like it would be a good idea to hire someone to kind of help you, or not someone, but hire a group,
a team
of people, a team that would be like, okay, let's steer you in the way that, you know, you do this correctly. One of the examples I have was Shang-Chi or even Black Panther. Like, there's things that they did, and granted, they didn't get everything right, but there's things that they did where they had consulting, they had people who, you know, could speak better to these things and who could better direct or better move or better hire or whatever the case may be, and actually fix certain things. So when you get the film, you actually get a better film. People who of color who, you know, can relate to the things that you're trying to show or depict aren't like, you know, they don't want to burn everything down because you screwed up. It's like, oh no, you did really well. Like, yeah, we still need to tweak some things. We're still not where we should be in terms of our white counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's been progress. And unfortunately with you know, films like Dune, it's like there could have been progress here. There could have been progress in a positive way, even if you just would have had some type of consulting or some type of, you know, or if you can't bring it about yourself to do that, then change everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make it so different that this is, you know, this is my Dune. This is Frank's Dune.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, now, okay, none of the characters are who they were in the book. Nobody is this, that, you know, we've taken all the references and changed. And then it's like, okay, now we can kind of judge it based on that. But because we're pulling from the book, which he is doing heavily, and because we're pulling from previous information, it's like, okay, you have to compare. There's no other way. And when you start to look at these things, it's like, oh, this is kind of bad.
Yeah.
In places. And that's why it's even with talking about Dune or anything, honestly, it can be difficult because of, it's very easy for people to kind of make you feel like you're the party pooper when you're trying to discuss certain things, and not even like outside views. 'Cause you know, we have, you know, and you know, white people seeing a certain thing and then we seeing a certain thing, but even with like, I'll speak for like, you know, Black people, me criticizing, you know, the show Them that I did multiple podcasts ago, and how I think it's a really, 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 really bad show. It's like this weird thing that we do where we're like, well, you feel like all Black people have to represent us whenever they create. Like, they have to be perfect whenever they create. And I'm like, no, that's not it. We should be able to criticize these things. We've gotten to a point where we can criticize, and not to tear down, but because we want better. And so if I see that, like, if I experience this film or this show and all I'm getting is trauma, all I'm getting is stereotypical things, all I'm getting is pain, and you're failing to ape whatever you thought Jordan Peele was doing with Get Out, then I should be allowed to say so. It shouldn't be a, we finally got this show. And this is not when Amos and Andy was coming out and certain Black people were cool with it, even though it started on blackface. They were cool with it because this was the only depiction we had anywhere. Mm-hmm. I get that. We're not in that zone anymore. We have a lot of depictions now all over the place. We just were talking about The Harder They Fall. It's a cowboy movie with all Black people. Mm-hmm. So, like, we have more depictions. Now we can actually be critical of these depictions. And I think that we need to be more vocal about it. We need to be more, you know, in a way that's constructive. Because I'm pretty sure, like, not... I feel like my rant was warranted, but I'm not sure if everybody was, you know, received my rant in the way I wanted them to, but I felt the way. I'm just saying, I felt the way about Them. Don't watch that show if you're Black. I'm sorry. Just don't.
Yeah.
It's all the way bad. Anywho.
all the way. Any other comments on Dune, Sonya?
No, but I agree with you. Like, if... like, we're at a point where I think, like, people of color just need better representation. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, on-screen representation and, like, hiring people in the back, like, actually, or, like, even, like, just anybody, like, makeup artists or cinematographers, directors, producers, and actors, and everybody should... like, we need to push for that, really, and on screen, but, like, even, like, people in the back, like, everybody should be getting to do something by now. It's kind of silly when, like you were saying, like, in that show, Emily in Paris, like they probably had a white writer for, like, another person of color's
dialogue. All white writers. Yeah. All white writers.
Yeah. So, like stuff like that, like, it's just so I don't know if they think, like, nobody could catch on to it, but, like, sometimes you could, like, it's pretty obvious, like, you could tell that something's kind of off, or, like, it's just off, it's just awkward. Like, and yeah, so I think having on-screen representation is, like, really important, and good representation, but like, you could have the bad one too. Like, they could try to make it seem like, oh yeah, like, we put a person of color on screen, this is so, like, new, progressive, but, like, you could actually be portraying something, like, you could be portraying a stereotype.
Yeah.
So yeah, we need, like, better representation. Great. On screen, and hire more people of color, or not just projects dealing with people of color, just any project. Like, all of them.
I also want us to have a side conversation here. I think it's important that, and people may not agree with me, but I think that we need to revisit the term people of color. I actually think that we need to refer to ourselves as the global majority, because we are. I'm saying this because... there's really no difference between saying people of color and colored people, like, for real, except the fact that, you know, some things changed and some time went by, and we know how people, you know, calling us colored was, like, really wrong, but it's just a repackaging of the same product. And when I hear the term people of color, and I use it myself, but sometimes when I hear that, I'm like, okay, well, just on the other side of that is just white. Yeah. And we don't say, so unless we're calling white people of non-color, which mind you, I've heard all kinds I've heard all kinds of stuff. Okay. But we're not calling white people of non-color. And since we're not doing that, I think there are other ways that we can refer mm-hmm. to us, and global majority is one of those. And I think that's actually a positive reinforcement about us being the majority on this planet. Mm-hmm. And that also, I think the term is empowering as well.
Yeah.
And
that could be tough though.
It could, but it's not, there's no lies.
Yeah.
Facts. But it's tough because and I think that kind of, the reason it's tough is actually a good reason. We're different and we're mm-hmm. okay with that. Mm-hmm. I think that some of our counterparts try to group us together too much. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's this thing where anytime we say anything or protest anything or stand up for anything, it's a universal sigh where we're grouped and we have to speak for one another. And that's where this weird fighting comes from. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, and I'm not going to get, you know, too far, but the idea of like saying African American, like how I don't want to be called that. Yeah. For reasons.
I never get that term.
But it's the PC term. And so I'm not mad at any black person who wants to be called that.
Right.
But understanding that there's reasons why we wouldn't want that. And so having a consensus on what, I mean, we can't even have a consensus on the N word right now. So like it would be really difficult to kind of come around and whatnot. But I do agree that potentially better terminology would be just that, because mm-hmm. it's hard, I think. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if we spoke the way we want to speak, we would probably have way more trauma or trouble. And that's what's, because, you know, mm-hmm. if granted we're recording, so I will keep this PG-13, but there are times, when I want to have the sort of real talk that we have mm-hmm. off air mm-hmm. with people who aren't who don't look like us. Mm-hmm. And I think if I did that, like, I don't know, their heads would explode or there would be a meltdown of some sorts. Like I would be considered the bad person in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Because there's things that we kind of have to just put up with, mm-hmm. Which kind of brings you all the way back, full circle, all the way back to my social media, my qualms with Twitter and how people are so firm on certain things and don't realize that they are stepping all over people with their firmness, and how if I spoke direct, it would just explode all over the place. But there are times where I'm tempted. There are times where I'm just like, you know what? The grace that we... Because this happened, you know, the term code switching, right? Like mm-hmm. we change how we act for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's not that deep. Like we change how we speak, we change how we are around certain people. Some of it is survival, some of it because they can't handle hearing certain things. And it's unfortunate, which makes certain conversations more difficult. That being said, I am glad we have a podcast where we can actually have these discussions in a more open manner, because it's helpful, it's beneficial, people should hear it. I'm glad we were able to talk about Dune today and kind of mm-hmm. get out, you know, how we felt about it. I am interested in watching the second film to see how that goes. And hopefully there's, you know, Frank addresses some of the things that, you know, some of the controversy surrounding, because he has time. They haven't started shooting yet. There's no excuse. You have time, fam. So hopefully he addressed some of these things and makes a better product out of it.
Yeah.
But that is our show for tonight. We went over a little bit, but that's okay because we were awesome. We want to thank our guest, Sonya, for coming with us and hanging out, talking about Activision and, you know, social media, Dune. And, you know, we were going to talk about anime a little bit, but, you know, because of our timing, it's, you know, we'll try to have her back on and we'll talk about anime. Cause you know, like the Cowboy Bebop show comes, I think it drops tomorrow, breaking the fourth wall. We're recording on a Thursday night. I believe it drops tomorrow, the 12th. So we have Cowboy Bebop to talk about And also, I don't know if you guys saw, Netflix showed the cast for One Piece. And
yep.
I don't know how I feel about it. I think I need to see them. I need to see them like in action or in costume.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
I need to see them because I don't think the casting is bad. I just think that they don't, like, when you think of One Piece, they don't look like the One Piece characters to me in my head. And that's kind of a me thing, not necessarily a Netflix thing or whatever thing. But
no, I think that's, you know, a realistic thing because they're very cartoony.
Well, yeah. It was anime in and of itself is hard to make live action. Like, that's just a fact.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But then at the same time, especially Japanese animation, like they're pulling from certain things. Some of it not good. Some of the depictions of Black people, but then some of it is like, this person's supposed to be Japanese and you have him as a white guy. Not in One Piece, but I'm just saying in general, like Dragon Ball or whatever. Like you
weren't supposed to even mention that. That is Voldemort.
My fault. That's my fault. That's vaulted. But the anime show we will not speak of, or you know, when you cast like a white person supposed to be Japanese or something like that, it just looks weird. It doesn't fit. That's not how that works. Yeah. And so in this situation, I don't necessarily think they cast poorly. Especially given the original creator, where he wanted all of the people to originate from, they kind of have that like nailed. But in terms of like the cast, I don't know. They feel way too young in certain aspects. I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see when it comes out, whenever that is. But that's something else to talk about. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to follow. We are on all the... Well, not all, but a lot of different DSPs, whether it's Spotify, Apple, all those places. Hook us up via the RSS feed to get more content. Also, if you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and follow at United Front Gaming. And we're also on Verbal. Check us out at The Gamecast on Verbal. On Twitter, at The Gamecast 1. And essentially all over the place. We're out here. We are out here. Again, we thank our special guests for hanging out with us. We had a great time, you know, talking with you tonight. And I think that is it for housekeeping.
All right. Well, yeah, that's our show. Sonia, you got anything to add?
This was great. Really, like, talking about all of this stuff. And like, it's always great talking to like other people of color too. I know we talked about that term.
Global majority.
Talking to other people of the global majority. So it was really nice to like talk about all these things because it's like not that common, I feel like, talking about it openly. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. Just talking about like all the other topics and everything. So I had a great time. So thank you so much for having me on.
We loved having you. Where can people find you again on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Sanyaga, SANIYAGA. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. That is our show. We are so happy to have our special guest. You know, a lot of times just me and Kenny going back and forth. It's really nice to have another person here.
What you trying to say?
I love our recording bouts. I'm a fan of us.
That's what's up.
It's always nice to have someone else here. So you're welcome back anytime. Next conversation, Bridgerton and Spider-Man and Mulan. Moving on. So thanks everybody for listening to us again tonight. This was episode 71. We hope that you will be back next week. If there's anything you guys want us to cover, to speak on, if you have opinions, let us know in the comments. But don't be a dick because we don't like that. So just don't. Try not. Otherwise, it's still COVID out there. So, you know, get your vaccine if you can. Wear a mask, please. Don't go into anybody's bakery and try to attack them for telling you to wear a mask. That's not cool. Remember, don't be a dick. Right. And remember to wash your faces, your hands, and your butts, because that's important too. Be out here taking baths. Take baths, people. Anyway, we love you guys. Thanks to all of our healthcare workers or first responders. Thanks everybody fighting the good fight. You guys are awesome. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys in a week. Bye-bye.